All right, I think we're back. Welcome to Notes from the Underground, episode one. I am here literally underground in the basement of my house, my home, and hopefully I'm not fulfilling some stereotype of a 30-something-year-old man in his basement. Live streaming. Obviously, extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures. These videos are meant to be primarily for the purpose of encouraging Grace Reformed Church of Jersey City, the church that I'm the pastor of. And if they can be of help to a greater audience, that's fine. That's kind of gravy. My primary purpose is for staying in touch and encouraging God's people that I've been entrusted. So I have zero desire to be some kind of celebrity, and I disavow all of that here and now. I have no desire for that, and I think the church has been greatly hurt because of that. So this is simply for God's people, all right, in Jersey City. If you are encouraged by this, good. And if no one watches these things, then I'll stop. But if they're an encouragement to you, let me know, all right? And I think we're live, but if you could text me or put something in the chat box, those who are on the chat group there, let me know that you can see me. That'd be great. All right. I've never done this, so I'm going to try to be just down to earth and normal. So we'll take it from here. All right. Kind of weird knowing that people are listening to me, but this is kind of a one-way medium, me talking and kind of talking in a room with no other people and in front of my computer. So I guess we have some confirmation that we are live, that I'm live. So all right. I want to talk about very briefly what the significance of this is. And I have no esoteric knowledge. I have no mysterious insight that's going to penetrate the enigma of coronavirus, COVID-19, which has been described as a pandemic by many authorities. It seems to have originated in China. It's ravaging many people around the world. Many thousands of people have died already because of this. And in our own country, we have just received the residents of New Jersey State word that our governor is effectively shutting down all quote-unquote non-essential business. So practically speaking, we are sheltering in place. We're supposed to be sheltering in place, which is a new mandate given previous mandates that our government, our state government and federal government have issued. There was a 15-day window. There was no gatherings above 10. And then issued by the president, President Trump, and then just this Saturday afternoon, Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey issued basically a mandate, an executive order mandating that no one be out of their home. So that is the new state of affairs. There is a kind of federalism that has occurred in all of this. I'll just say this tangentially, a respect for locality from this presidential administration, which I would admire and I would commend as admirable that he has not issued a kind of blanket statement to all 50 states, because all 50 states are not being affected the same way. And so the principle of subsidiarity, which our Catholic friends have developed over many years, I think comes into play here, which dovetails with a very good political federalism that basically understands that states are to exercise a certain level of control. The listed powers in our Constitution are given to the federal government, to the central government, and the unlisted powers are given, the reserved powers are given to the state. And I think we're seeing some of that play out, where President Trump has allowed the various state governors to issue mandates according to what they think will best both slow down and contain the spread of this coronavirus. So kudos to the president, and kudos to our governors for acting in conjunction with the president and seeking to do what's right. So that's one big tangent on kind of the way this has operated so far. But I want to get back to the issue at hand, which is the significance of what this pandemic holds out to you who are watching at Grace Reformed Church, to friends of Grace Reformed Church, to families related to folks at Grace Reformed Church, to people around the country, people around the world. And again, my big reveal is not mysterious. What this means for you and for me and for anyone who is alive, what this pandemic means, the significance of the pandemic is simple. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Everything in life comes down to that. God has used plagues in the past as ways of drawing people to himself, of cultivating in them a holy hatred for sin and a righteous love for God and his law and everything that is righteous. And that's really the bottom line here. Worship Christ the King. You see this at various points in history. I'm about 40 years old, give or take a few years. I remember 9/11. I was in college when September 11th happened. We were attacked as a country. It was a terrorist attack. And you began to see the foundations of our world teeter and totter. And there was a lot of folks in confusion. And what Christians have to remember is that the confusion of the world may not be met by the church with its own equivalent confusion. And this has oftentimes been the case. It was perhaps most apparent back in 9/11. If you think of these tragedies or of these pandemics or of these events that capture the attention of many millions of people around the world as kind of peaks, mountain peaks and hilltops, right? The last big peak in my generation, in my lifetime, was probably 9/11. Right, and then you've had a couple of moderately sized things, news events, tragedies, crashes, tsunamis that have happened since. But I think 9/11 is the last peak about the size of this peak that is called COVID-19. A lot of people at that time were just in confusion. A lot of people in the church, because They have cultivated for years a very weak faith, a faith that sees God as something less than sovereign, a faith that sees God as a man, a kind of squeamish creature, perhaps, a Christian faith that is paltry and impoverished. Christians at that time were asking, where is God? Where is God? Where is God that he would allow our nation to be attacked? Where is God that he would allow terrorists to come and disturb the peace and prosperity of our country? Friends, let me tell you where God is. God is in heaven above, where he reigns over all things with great authority, with unsurpassed authority, with unsurpassed wisdom, and with divine prerogatives that you and I, nor any other creature, has. That's where God is. God is in control of all things. Now, the church, or the part of the church that understood that 20 years ago in 9/11, came out of 9/11 more emboldened in the faith, more certain of their Messiah, who has been given the possession of all things, of all nations. And they saw that as a tragedy, to be sure, but as an opportunity to love God, to draw near to him, to love their neighbors, and to witness in all manners of life of God's goodness and his love, of God's salvation, of the truth of God's word. And friends, I want to tell you, the same thing is before us today. Those who have lived longer than I have could probably relate the events of today to past events prior to 9/11. Assassination attempts, perhaps, presidential assassinations, assassinations of iconic figures during the 60s and 70s, the bombing of various important American buildings and things like that. What I relate this to is 9/11. All right, so a bit of a tangent. Thanks for bearing with me. If you were here in front of me in this room, I could see your eyes rolling and I'd get a few cues to move on, but you know, I have nothing like that. I'm in a very egocentric state right now, talking by myself in this room to a computer, and all of this being transmitted to who knows however many people are out there in the interwebs. So the bottom line in all of this, beloved, is that we need to take hold of God. If you have been living a paltry, impoverished life in Christ, live like that no more. If you have been wondering about Christ, about the claims of Christ, if you have indulged yourself in the decadence of what is the American culture, beloved, draw near to God through his word. It's clear. Draw near to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Grab hold of his promise that in this life you will suffer. In this life you will have affliction. In this life you will die. But that's the fallen world we live in. Pandemics have come and gone. What we have and what remains forever is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will never, ever go away. There is nothing that can stop his power and authority. There is nothing that can separate you from him if you are united to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. What we find in the beginning of Romans 8 is that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but who walk according to the Spirit of Christ Jesus, who makes us alive for every good work, for the life of resurrection, now and the one to come. At the end of Romans 8, what we find is that for those for whom there is no condemnation, there is an added promise. And all throughout Romans 8, we find that there is now this unprecedented set of blessings. We are adopted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the assurance of the resurrection through the Spirit of Christ who now dwells in us. And through that Spirit, Christ is with us. And through Christ, the Father is with us. And we have been privileged to not only bear the crown of glory that is to be given to all those who love the return of Jesus Christ, but we're privileged to be given the cross of Jesus Christ, to walk in his footsteps, to share and participate in the fellowship of his sufferings. And from there, we're given the assurance that all creation is awaiting our redemption as the sons of God, the revealing of the glory of the sons of God. And from there, we're told about the golden chain of salvation, that for those whom God knew, he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, and those whom he foreknew, he has justified, and he has glorified, and he is presently, if you're wondering where sanctification is in there, he is sanctifying them, conforming them to the image of his Son. And then at the very end, we're told that although we are like lambs being given over to the shearers to be ripped apart in this miserable fallen world, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Jesus Christ. Nothing can open the Father's hand and pluck you out, to quote John's gospel, from the Father's hand. Beloved, in this life, you and I will die of something. You and I will die of so-called natural causes. We will die of so-called, quote-unquote, untimely causes, an untimely death. The promise of Jesus Christ is that when we depart this shadow land, which is what this fallen world is, it's real, it's corporeal. Don't think me a Gnostic. It's real. But when we depart this land and this life, we will enter a better land and a better life. The land of endless bliss, to quote Isaac Watts's hymn, the land of pure delight where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are and have remained forever and have awaited us. And not only that, on the last day, because our goal is not to be bodiless spirits floating somewhere with the Trinity. The goal is a new heavens and a new earth. All the sickness, all the death, all the disease, all the misery, all the putrid decay in this world will be wiped away with holy fire, 2 Peter 3, and in its place, a new creation, the new heavens and the new earth. And you and I, beloved, will receive our resurrected bodies so that now we're not going back to the Garden of Eden. We're not going back to the time of probationary innocence where we can choose God or not choose God, where we can serve Christ or serve the serpent. We're going to a better garden that's found in a city that is populated by God's people and whose dwelling is God himself. This is the revelation in the book of Revelation at the very end, chapter 21 and chapter 22, which mirror Genesis 1 and 2. So they're bookends of God's prophetic scriptures. All 66 books have two bookends. Genesis 1 and 2, Revelation 21 and 22. And that's it. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. And what we find on our way is a pandemic in 2020, is a 9/11 in 2001, and all the various multitudinous sufferings of this world. They're all around us. Are we shocked? We shouldn't be. Death surrounds us. And this is something that we're going to talk more tomorrow. I'm already going 20 minutes here. I'm looking at this ticker. I meant this to be a 5-minute encouragement. And this is what happens when you put a preacher in an egocentric situation like I find myself in, where I have no check upon me, no social cues, no lovely faces of God's people looking at me, encouraging me to cut it out. So I do want to cut it, and I want to end it with simply this. We're going to talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. If you're looking at this, if you're seeing this, join us tomorrow at 11 a.m. I'm going to try to figure out the software a little bit here, so bear with me. Keep us in mind, Juan Carlos Martinez Chapa. Boy, I haven't heard that lovely name in a while. Good to see you, brother, on our Facebook chat there. But we're going to be talking about this tomorrow at 11. We're going to have a full worship liturgy that we normally have in at our facility in Jersey City, in 240 Fairmont. But we're going to be talking more about these things, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And not only that, but the hope that we give, that we are to give to others. This is it. We tell people, turn to the Lord and be ye saved. We are deluded in thinking about how in charge we are. We are not in charge. We are not in control at all. We are dust. We're ants, man. We are so sick, and we are so deluded and delusional to think that we are in control. And all of this American dream, not the mall off of Route 3, but I'm talking about this culture we live in. Everything in the American dream tells you that you are in control. That you are in control. You are not in control. You are nothing. I am nothing. God is in control. And prior generations knew this because they were surrounded with death. And they were surrounded with the vulnerability that comes with subsistence living, where you have to farm your own food. And if there's a crop blight or a crop failure, you're done. Past generations knew this because there were wars, and men didn't come back from wars and battles with tribes and other nations. And people knew this because there weren't hospitals, and there weren't massage salons, and there wasn't pedicure and manicures, and there wasn't the tanning salon and the gym, and there wasn't all of this stuff. And people knew this. And guess what? We're still surrounded with death. We just have these little safety nets that we put our trust in to save us. We have Netflix, and we have pornography, and we have sugar, and we have Facebook, and we have distractions everywhere. And we have politics, and we have presidential elections, we have iPhones, we have whatever it is you want. You want takeout, you have takeout. We have all of these distractions, and we have pensions, and we have all this modern world. And God is just stripping all of that away from us. We are in many ways returning to a pre-modern context where people are having to scramble for toilet paper. Toilet paper. Who would have thought that toilet paper was what people trusted in? But it is. It is. And God is telling us, He's showing us, He's putting a mirror to our face and He's saying, this is who you are. You are hopeless and helpless without God. So, Church of Jesus Christ, when are we going to understand this lesson? When are we going to wake up? It's time to wake up. We've been slumbering. We've been sleeping. It's time to wake up. I'll see you all tomorrow, bright and early, at the crack of lunch, 11 a.m. There's no excuse to be late, all right? I love you all. I miss you all. I wish we could meet. We better not meet. And we will continue tomorrow. By the way, little quick announcement since I have you. Tomorrow after worship, I plan to announce this again tomorrow, but at 12:30, once the public broadcast ends, we're going to join the Zoom, private Zoom conference call. You should have gotten that information. You should look at your emails. You should be looking at your emails a little bit more because I might be sending you encouragements in your email. And join the conference call using the information listed on the email. God bless you all. From our family to yours, from me to you, may God keep you. May God bless you with His grace and peace in these times. Jesus Christ is Lord.